Amen. The price was paid once upon a cross. Amen. What a great song. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And if you keep up with things like this, you'll know that I preached on this text about 7 years ago. So I always like to say that in case somebody wrote it in the margin of their Bible. That does happen. So I want you to know that I do keep up with when and what I preach. So anyway, well, I can tell the crowd is a little rained out this morning. You're a little bit down. And I wish I was a joke teller. I'd tell a joke. Insert joke here. But I am not a joke teller. And no one wants me to tell a joke, so I won't tell one. Anyway, it's just funny to talk about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a tremendous passage. And we'll talk about the previous chapter here in just a minute or two. And I think this, as I was listening to the revival meeting and Brother McCracken preaching, I was reminded not only of this verse, but a few other ones that we may touch on the next few weeks. But here Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this treasure, and that's speaking of the New Testament gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love, and we thank you this morning for, again, just a tremendous week, this past week. And God, I pray this morning you'd be with the service. Lord, that you would be with the preaching, that you'd have already prepared hearts, and Lord, that we are ready to receive your word. I pray, God, that you would help us to see again the importance that we, the important part that we play in this on this earth to tell others of Jesus Christ, to tell others of you. God, help us to see ourselves for who we are, and that we need your power, we need your strength, we need your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many times, you know, I've seen it in homes and also in our home growing up where you would take something of value and put it in something that is worthless, such as someone may take a coffee can and put money in it and put it up in the pantry or hide it somewhere, and the coffee can is not worth anything, but the stuff inside of it is. I have something like that. I talk about my box of fossils every once in a while. And, you know, the box that my fossils are in that I found when I was a kid, that box is worthless. But the stuff on the inside is invaluable. No, it's not. But every once in a while we do that, don't we? I mean, probably most of us in this room have taken something of value and put it and hid it in something that was not of much value. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This earthen vessel spoken of here is really, and we'll describe it a little more here in a moment, but it's a vessel that's of little value. It don't have a lot of value in and of itself. But can I tell you that though we are described as earthen vessels, our value is not found in and of ourselves. Our value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if everyone would view themselves that way, it would change the landscape of America and change the landscape of the church and change the landscape of so many who are hurting and those who are discouraged when we find that our value is not found in ourselves. And that's exactly the opposite of what most psychologists and others teach today. Our value is not found in and of ourselves. It's found in the value that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what value it is. It is the treasure within the vessel that gives the value. And I'm so glad today that I know I'm saved. I know today that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I know that the Holy Spirit abides in me. And my value is not found in and of myself, but my value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers, if you're saved this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Paul here again is referring to us as simply clay jars. He's simply referring to us as clay pots, baked clay. And in this day and age, or in the day and age in which he is speaking here, again, these were clay jars that were not of much value. It says here that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure in earthen vessels. Again, we'll back up to chapter 3 just a minute. And Paul describes for us there the difference between the Old and New Testament. He's describing the Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy. He's describing the Old Testament contract that God had with his people to the New Testament contract that God has with His church, with God's people. Everyone with me? So he's going back and forth, and he's saying, he basically comes down to that the New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament. Again, we've preached this before, and it's always reviews the best teacher, but listen, the Old Testament, they had it pretty bad. They had a pretty, it was a very intricate type of worship, and a lot of lethargic, and just a lot of liturgy and things that they had to go through, all the sacrifices that had to take place. I mean, if you sinned, you had to come and bring a sacrifice. If you once a year, your family came and made a sacrifice. Three times a year, you had these holidays you had to come to Jerusalem for, and they would last 3 or 4 days, sometimes 7 days. And there was a lot to it. There was very intricate, very detailed of how you were to worship, what kind of sacrifices you were to bring, and there were a lot of killing of innocent animals, a lot of killing. They would say sometimes that some of the Passovers and some of these days and feastings, there would be literally tens of thousands of sheep killed and goats killed and bullocks killed on 1 and 2 days and 3 days. And it was unbelievable. By the way, all those sacrifices pictured Jesus Christ. The sacrifices are not what saved them from their sins. It is what they pictured that saved them from their sin. In the Old Testament, their sins were merely pushed forward. In the New Testament, our sins have been forgiven. Right? And our sins are forgiven on the cross of Calvary. But so all of this, again, this liturgy, all this pomp and circumstance, all this stuff that they went through the Old Testament, Paul just simply says, hey, we have it so much better in the New Testament. Yeah. And that's not even really the crux of it. In the Old Testament, God said, you do what I say, or I'll take you out. I'm summarizing it very down to the basics. I know there's a lot more to it than that. But in the Old Testament, he says, you obey me and I will bless you. If you don't obey me, I will curse you. If you obey me, I will send rain. If you don't obey me, I will withhold the rain. I mean, it was pretty much cut and dry. You do what I say or I will do things to you. I'm glad I live in the age of grace and not the age of the law. I'm glad I don't live over here in the Old Testament any longer. Amen. I live in the New Testament. I live in the age of grace. Now, over here, God, in His gracious and so merciful. By the way, He was gracious and merciful in the Old Testament as well. And that's a whole different message. So I made it cut and dry, but God showed up in special ways in the Old Testament too. But in the New Testament, and the New Testament economy, the New Testament contract, the New Testament of grace that God has with us is so much glorious, so far superior to the Old Testament and the way they went about things. And so Paul is just saying, listen, again, the Old Testament and the New Testament is far more glorious. Therefore, it says there in verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, this New Testament ministry, not the Old Testament ministry anymore, but now, therefore, seeing we have a New Testament ministry, it goes on to say, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, who and what God is, in the face of Jesus Christ. So God has revealed Himself by way of Jesus Christ. Therefore, but we now have, or what we have, this treasure, this New Testament ministry, this New Testament gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. The New Testament treasure, this New Testament gospel, the treasure. What is the treasure? The treasure is Jesus Christ. What is the treasure? The treasure is the Bible that you hold in your lap. I'm glad today I hold in my hand the infallible, inerrant, the Word of God. God's love letter to us. It's amazing. It's an amazing book. It's a powerful, powerful book, as was described for us last week. What is this treasure? The treasure is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course it is the Bible. Of course it is the gospel. The gospel, the good news of salvation. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. God became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Corinthians tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible says in Philippians that He humbled Himself, that He became a servant, that He made Himself in the likeness of man. God became flesh. He who was rich became poor, that we might be made rich. Amen? Man, what a Savior we have. He came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. Not one time did He have a sinful thought. Not one time did He perform a sinful deed. He was sinless perfection. He was the sinless man. The only sinless man who's ever lived. All of us are just sinners. But He was a sinless man for 33 and a half years. He lived a sinless life. And they took Him, and they took Him, and they placed Him on a cross. Now, Jesus said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And I have no doubt, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ did not have to be forced on that cross, that He laid Himself down on that cross, and they put those nails in His hands, they put those nails in His feet, and they raised Him up, and they put Him in that hole. And there Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He had no sins of His own. Wherefore, God the Father made God the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ became sin for us. He took upon the sins of the whole world. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And there Jesus Christ died for sinners. There Jesus Christ shed His blood for me. There Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. There Jesus Christ shed His blood for the sins of the world. They placed Him in a tomb, but the tomb could not hold Him. For God hath raised Him from the dead. 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, proving that He paid for our sins in full. Proving that He was indeed God and man. Now He sits at the right hand of the throne of God that ever makes intercession for us. That's the treasure we have. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation. By the way, I'm glad it is invaluable. It's free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation from our sin. Salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sin. Salvation from the debt that we owe. Salvation from hell, death, and the grave is free. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This treasure that we have is free. It's freely given to all. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have a God who is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I hope today that you have this treasure. I hope today that you possess this treasure. I hope today that you know that you know that you know if you were to die today that heaven would be your home. I hope today you know that your sins have been forgiven. I hope that today that you understand what I'm talking about. And that you can process it and you can say, yes, I accepted this wonderful treasure, this invaluable treasure when I was 6 years old. Or I accepted Christ as my Savior 10 months ago or a year ago or whatever it may be. And there needs to be a place and time in your life when you have accepted this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This word earthen vessels, again, simply speaking of a clay pot. It's in fact, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, we won't turn there, but Paul refers to himself as a chosen vessel. We are chosen vessels, by the way. That's a whole other message. Paul was a chosen vessel. He was chosen of God to go to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? By the way, there's only two categories, two specifications of people in the Bible, in the New Testament. It is either Jew or Gentile. You only fit two. And Paul went to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad of that? If he hadn't have, we would, most of us, I don't know if maybe there's a Jew or two in here, I don't know. But most of us, we would not be saved today. Paul was a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And it's important that we understand. It speaks here of an earthen vessel. There's so much here. Look at, turn back with me just, a, or turn over a few pages if you can find it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. The earthen vessel is not a priceless vase. An earthen vessel is not a priceless vase, but a clay pot. You keep over there in 2 Timothy. We'll read it here in a minute. But a clay pot. I used this illustration before, but my mom and the house we grew up in from the time I was 2 to the time I was 18, one of those homes that was built in the 70s that my parents paid $15,000 for brand new. You know, typical 1,200, 1,400 square foot, three-bedroom home. And in the between the kitchen and the living room, there was a knick-knack shelf that was built in. And on that knick-knack shelf, my mom began to accumulate very, very precious items, such as an elephant made out of rock, which was broke several times growing up and super glued back together. On that knick-knack shelf were, because we used to go to Colorado and New Mexico and other places for vacations, and she would buy the Indian pottery, and there was, I don't know, four, five, six pieces of pottery, which most had been glued back together with super glue at some point or another. We had a tendency to wrestle in that area of the thing. But those vessels on that knick-knack shelf cost like, you know, $10. I don't know what it cost back then, but they weren't very valuable. But to my mom, they were. You know how we could tell? Yeah, you know how we could tell. My mom would scream and holler when one of them got broke, right? And that's why when she wasn't there, we tried to super glue it back together so you couldn't tell. But to her, those vessels were very, they had memories, you know. She bought it here, she bought it there. We were little kids, and they had memories to her, and they were precious to her, but they weren't valuable. There was nothing, I don't believe, in our home growing up that was very valuable. When the Bible refers to, when Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he is speaking of simply clay pots. Not a priceless vase. He's speaking of a weak, frail, fragile, cheap, breakable, replaceable pots. All right, so these were these clay pots that they used, the Jews used in everyday endeavors. They used them for trash cans. They used them to, you've read other stories where they used them to store oil in them. They used them in all different kinds of ways. These clay pots, but the pots themselves were not valuable. Sometimes they would put valuable things in them, like put oil in them. Right? Everybody with me? So, though these clay pots were not valuable, they were necessary. They used them again for household functions, whatever that may be. Whether it was a trash can or something to hold oil with or whatever it may be, but these were pots used in everyday household functions. This wasn't the fine china that you bring out when guests come over. This was is it Corolla? What is the name of that, you know, just that stuff you buy at Walmart, you know, that you use all the time, that you stick in the microwave and you do all, you know, everyday use. So this was not priceless stuff. Everyday things. These jars were broken over and over again. When they dig up Jewish, you know, towns, they find clay pots strewn everywhere because it was just something that was reused and used over and over again until they were broken and they were thrown out. We have this earthen vessel, clay pots. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So vessels, different kinds of vessels in a house, some vessels of gold, some vessels of silver, again, some vessels of fine china, some vessels of just the cheap Walmart ware, some vessels of honor, some vessels of dishonor. We might go into that, but that might get a little crude on a Sunday morning. But most of you get the hint. There's vessels that are used, again, of honor and dishonor, that a man shall purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. So 2 Timothy could be preached all in and of itself, and we'll do that someday. But basically he's saying, listen, there are vessels of gold, there are vessels of silver, there are these fine vessels, there are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. And over in our text he's saying, but we are earthen vessels. We are clay pots. We need to be meet for the master's use. We need to be sanctified and usable by the Lord. We need to be in a position where God can use us. Again, we're not fine china. We're earthen vessels. The value is not in and of ourselves, but what on the inside that gives us our value. Can you understand and know this morning that if you're here and you're saved, that you've been chosen of God and set apart for the master's use? Now, we are limited because of the earthen vessel we are in, but God has given everyone who is saved gifts. Again, we see this in Corinthians and in Romans chapter 12. In Corinthians chapter 12, we find that God hath given to every member of the body, every member of the church, gifts, talents to be used in the church. I'm thankful for the choir this morning. Amen. And I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for our ushers and nursery workers and on down through the list of those who work and do. And no matter your gifts, no matter your abilities, God wants us to be usable vessels. In fact, I would say God expects us to be usable vessels. And that all of us should be and ought to be used for the Master. A vessel that is worthy to be used of the Master. I want to be worthy to be used of the Master. I want to be a vessel unto honor, not a vessel of dishonor. I want to put myself in a position where I have purged myself and able to come to God and say, Lord, I'm just a clay pot, but Lord, I'm here for whatever you want me to be. I'm here to use however you want me to be used. Lord, I'm here. I'm yielding myself to you. We can go back to the message on brokenness that Brother McCracken preached. Again, we're right back to it. Humility and being broken and contrite and come to Him and say, Lord, I yield to you, whatever you have me to do. But the point this morning is the power is not found in the vessel. That's what it's saying. The power is not found in the vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That understand as we do for the Lord, as we are used of the Lord, that we must understand that we are dependent upon Him. That we are dependent upon Him. We are earthen vessels so that we might depend on God's power and not ours. Right? So this is an area which the preacher has to be careful. And as time has gone on, I certainly haven't perfected this, but have definitely learned it, that you can only go on your own power for so long. You can only go it on your own talent for so long. And then you will run out of gas. You will run out of gas. As we think about this last week in the revival meeting, and man, tremendous message on brokenness and all these things. But remember who does the breaking. It is the Lord who empowers us. It's the Lord who enables us. It's the Lord who gives us the victory in the work of the Lord. Whatever, or in your own lives, in my life, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. To live an abundant life. The gospel is not spread by our abilities, our gifts, our talents, our power. The gospel is spread by what's inside the vessel. We need God's power today. We need God's power. And God uses clay pots, there's no doubt. And thank the Lord for it. And God is glorified by using weak vessels. Right? When I'm weak, then He is strong. There's like 20 messages in all this. I'm a clay pot. I want to be meet or fit for the Master's use. I want to be usable for Him. My value is not found in and of myself. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for me. And because I am a clay pot, and I have this treasure in earthen vessels, I've been given a wonderful treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. I've been given an abundant life. I've been given a life of love, joy, peace, and so forth. That treasure needs to be shared with others. What a wonderful treasure it is. And God uses frail, expendable people to share the gospel, to share the good news. And God makes it clear that salvation is the result of His power and not the power of the messenger. In fact, we should be deflecting ourselves and deflecting to the Master, right? It's not about how slick I can be and how slick I can talk or how slick I can present the gospel. It should all be back, and the light should be shined on the gospel itself, not on the messenger. Everybody with me? Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's think of a character who would picture for us this particular truth. And there's a good one, and his name is Gideon. Gideon, the children of Israel in the book of Judges, and you can go back and read it later in Judges chapter 7. The children of Israel were in bondage again. It already happened once or twice, and it happened 7 times in the book of Judges. The Bible says there that in the book of Judges, that 300-year span in Israel's history, there was no king in Israel. And every man did that was right in his own eyes. And God allowed the children of Israel to go through a period of ups and downs in which they would have several years of freedom, and they'd be worshiping the Lord. And when they began to revert back to worshiping idols and so forth, God, as I said before, would come in and judge them and curse them, and some other group of people would come in and put them in bondage, who would take and put them in and suppress them. And in Gideon's case, the people that were suppressing them, the people they were in bondage to, was the Midianites. In fact, it had gotten so bad that the Midianites had come in and taken all their food, and it was really, really bad, and they were starving. And so Gideon is found, when we see him, he's found in a wine press threshing wheat. In a wine press where you're supposed to be making grape juice, he's in there threshing wheat because he can't do it out in the open because the Midianites have come and take the wheat from him. So he's threshing the wheat, doing it the hard way. We learned this at camp. Y'all remember the Gideon deal at camp? That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? There is Gideon threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord appears in the Gideon and calls him a mighty man of valor, which, again, that's amazing. And Gideon is asked of the Lord to go and deliver his people from bondage. Gideon, who is threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites, Gideon, who later clarifies and says to the angel Lord, he says to the angel Lord, how am I supposed to deliver my people from bondage? I am the least of my father's house. And my father is least in Israel. In other words, he said, I'm the youngest son of my father. My father ain't much of nothing either. Why would you come to me and make me the deliverer of the people of Israel? I'm a nobody. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a nobody. And the Lord made it very clear to Gideon by way of some fleeces and some other things that... and proved to Gideon that God was going to use him in a mighty, mighty way. And God gathered an army around Gideon, and that army was pared down until it came down to 300 soldiers, 300 men. To face, the Bible says in Judges chapter 7, that the Midianites and the Amalekites had gotten together, and when you look down the valley, it was as if you were seeing grasshoppers. They were so abundant in number. The enemy was innumerable. You couldn't count them. There were so many of them. As you look down the valley, this enemy of Israel was vast and huge, humongous. And God told Gideon, you're going to go to battle against this enemy with 300 men. Isn't that amazing? That kind of goes along with our verse, isn't it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That God may show Himself powerful. That it's not man who gives the victory, but God who gives the victory, right? And God told Gideon to take a trumpet. Each man to take a trumpet and each man to take a clay jar with a light in it. And they surrounded this valley. And then at the moment Gideon said, they trumpeted out with the trumpets. And they broke the jar and the light shone, right? And they yelled out, Gideon and so forth, sword. And then the people down the valley got confused and began to kill themselves and began to flee. And God defeated a multitude of people with 300 men. It's amazing, isn't it? So that's the story. That's a true story in the Old Testament. Really happened. David and Goliath, really happened. David, little bitty teenage boy, defeated a 10-foot giant in the power of the Lord. It's not about the vessel. What's valuable is what's in the vessel. And I'm telling you, this morning, what's valuable is what is in you. And God can use anyone. And God will use you. God will use me. I think about as Gideon was up there and they blew those trumpets and they broke those pitchers and the light shine, kind of goes with our verses. We didn't preach the whole verse there, the whole first seven verses there in Corinthians. But the light of the glorious gospel might shine forth. Boy, I just want to be a light, don't you? I want to be a broken vessel that can be used to shine the glorious gospel to those around me. I want to be an earthen vessel that is meet for the Master's use. I want to be an earthen vessel totally dependent upon the Lord. Paul viewed himself as lowly and common. He said it many times. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Paul's the chiefest of sinners? Paul, you think of yourself as the chiefest of sinners? That's the way Paul viewed himself. You know why? He had a proper view of God. Isaiah said the same thing. He said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, woe me, a man of unclean lips. Job said the same thing. When he saw the Lord, he said, I repent in dust and ashes. Paul viewed himself as simply an earthen vessel. Let's remember this morning that we are expendable and replaceable earthen vessels. We're just simply clay jars. Our value is not found in our clay jar. Our value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we go forward for the Lord, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this New Testament ministry, this New Testament covenant, this New Testament economy in which we as Christians ought to be a light. That as our jar is broken, that we ought to shed the light of the glorious gospel to those around us. That we ought to be used of the Lord to give the gospel. Our goal is to have others focus on the treasure and not the vessel. It's not about me, it's about Him. And as we give the gospel, as we present the gospel, as teachers and workers, as we present the gospel to co-workers and friends and family, we must remember that it's not about us, it's all about Him. The good news of salvation. I love that God overcomes and transcends the clay pot. And no matter how insignificant you may see yourself as, that God can and will use you. In this New Testament ministry, to tell others of the good news of salvation. That God will use you and encourage you and strengthen you. during trials and during testings. The rest of the chapter, verses 8 through 18, speak of that. I'm glad today that I'm not alone in this life. I'm not talking about I have a wife and kids. I'm talking about I'm not powerless in this life. That I have within me the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to empower me, to enable me to live the Christian life and to share the good news. That I have the Holy Spirit to empower and enable me to overcome. That I do have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. That I don't have to just look forward to heaven. I can look forward to life now. Amen? But remembering that we are just simply in earthen vessels. Do you have the treasure this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And then, Christian, we ought to share the treasure. We ought to share the treasure. Time to break the clay pot and let your light shine. I love that. It's a good illustration. I did a terrible job of presenting it, but I want to share the treasure. Share the treasure. Let's all stand. Hymn 157. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. The greatest treasure the world needs is Jesus Christ. That is the greatest treasure. Lord, we thank You again, God, for sending Your Son and giving His life for us that we might have eternal life. And I pray this morning for someone here who has never accepted You as Savior, I pray they might do that today. And God, I pray through the message, through Your Word, that we would be encouraged to, as earthen vessels, to share the New Testament ministry with others. That we might share the gospel with others. And though many times we feel inadequate and unable to and scared, and God, I pray, God, that we would remember that You have empowered us. You have enabled us to share the good news of the wonderful, wonderful salvation. Lord, help us as we continue to go forward in our Christian life and our Christian walk. Help us to be vessels that are usable, vessels that are meet for the Master's use. In Jesus' name.